Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Yesterday, this church experienced a wonderful celebration. Our deacon, Garrett Lane, is now a priest. And it's a wonderful time when the church comes together and professes their faith and the ability of God to bestow the Holy Spirit upon Garrett. There was a long period of silence, and I was warned as my first ordination in this diocese that Bishop Andy Doyle holds the silence long time. And so when it happened, I was prepared, sort of, but I wasn't prepared for the inpouring of the Holy Spirit. But then again, are we ever prepared for that? And so there was this long period of silence. And when we all have our hands laid upon Garrett, and it's a beautiful time in which we can feel that Spirit calling him into life as a priest. It reminds me of the stronghold that Walter Brueggemann often refers to. He's an Old Testament theologian, and he says the mercy of God is like a mother animal who holds on to us. I'm supposed to have a slide with this. Holds on to us like the grip of the neck and never lets us go. And that stronghold is important in our life, because who would be without that kind of hold and grip in our lives? This reading today, our psalmist also talks about falling, that he has fallen before, and he knows that God is the way that he has gotten up and made it through another day. Even though God holds us with the scruff of the neck, sometimes we do fall. Sometimes life is full of hurtful things, or we try to find peace in unhealthy ways. We fall into self-doubt, but that stronghold of God holds on to us. Did you know that toddlers fall? Oh, wait, yes you do, because we've probably already seen it today. But you might not know that toddlers fall 15 to 20 times an hour, one report said. Another one said 38 times a day. Now, the most important thing about when a toddler falls is what happens afterwards. They fall. They might cry. But really, they're looking at you to see if you noticed, to see if you are going to run across the room, risk falling yourself, and notice them and pick them up and say, oh, you're great. Because most of us say, oh, you're okay, it's okay, just get up. But no, toddlers want to know that they're great. And so toddlers fall often. But when you get older, falling is a different game, because we don't just bruise and we don't have Band-Aids, but we fall. And yes, there's lots of pictures of older people falling, probably more pictures of older people falling than younger people falling. And another numbers, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, says that if you're over 65 years old, every second, one person falls. Every second, someone falls and has an injury, or it can lead to an injury death. Now that we've talked about all this positive thinking about falling, my point is that if you eat and you breathe and you die, you're going to fall. Our psalmist knew what falling was about. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall not be shaken. Or another version, the Coverdale says, so that I shall not fall. For most of us, we learn about that stronghold of God because we have fallen, because we know what it's like to be down and away and fearful and scared. And our psalmist clearly comes from that point of view. Sometimes, you know, in our work environments, we interview our job and we're like, oh, what's the corporate culture here? And everybody tells you these wonderful things about the corporate culture. Oh, we're transparent. We communicate. We connect. We're honest. We respect each other. But then sometimes you get in that job and there's that person that is just full of lies and deceit. And at first you're thinking, okay, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's something that I'm just not getting. I mean, the corporate culture is this, right? But this is happening. So it must be me. And so there's that self-doubt that comes in there. We plummet into that old, what I call stinking thinking, that we're not enough. We can easily fall into not feeling good about ourselves because our work environment is not respectful and easy to communicate. Another way we fall is spiritually. Maybe you're in this place in your life. We've had years away from the church, and you're trying to figure out, how do I get connected to God? Well, okay, this is Baptist town, right? Let's go to church. That's what we do. But there still is this little tension, and you're angry at God. God hasn't been there in some times when you really needed God. God didn't show up the way you needed God to show up. I have a friend that I play tennis with. We used to be the fearsome. There's a group of us that would get up at, 6 a.m. in the morning. We would be on the court at 6:30, and we'd play for an hour and a half. It was wonderful. Didn't matter if it was 40 degrees or if it was 90 degrees, we were going to play tennis. There's a lot of joking around and everything. So this group still communicates. And this one special friend, he texts me these shots from tennis, you know, like the top 10 best shots that you ever made. And I'm like, not me. I've never made that kind of shot. He's like, well, I haven't either, but we can dream about it. And so we talk about these shots. And the other day I was talking on the phone, and he's like, he's telling me about tennis and things that are going on in his life. And then there's this long pause, and he says, I'm shifting gears. I'm like, okay. Long silence. And he says, God has abandoned me. I don't hear God's voice anymore. God used to talk to me. God listened. And God would like, this way, this way. Or I think this is the way you need to go. But he said, it is radio silence. No one is listening. And I need God to hear my plea. I need God to hear my voice. But God is not showing up. Maybe you've been in that place. I know I have. I've been in places where I'm like, okay, God, this is what I need. You need to fill my order just like Amazon. But it doesn't happen that way. And so we do spiritually fall, but it doesn't mean that God hasn't let go of us. Something else that happens in our lives is that we develop tough skin. Remember these jeans? These are tough skin jeans. Now, they were very popular when I was growing up because we had one pair of jeans. And if you're a girl, you got roller skates or little hearts. But this was Sears Roebuck, tough skin jeans. You needed one pair because they never ripped, they never tore, they never stained. I'm not sure what they were made out of, but they were industrial jeans. And we thought, well, sometimes we think our skin is like that. We think that we are that tough, that we are that invincible. We find security and safety in some very funny places. Nowadays, tough skin comes through real hard life experiences. The psalmist has found strength in God, his sure foundation, not with those with high degrees or low estate, or even those that seem to measure things. He has found security in God. Don't set your hearts upon wealth and pride and exhortation and thievery, only on the steadfast love of God. Life can teach us lots of hard lessons, and we can be defined by them if we choose to be. But we can also be defined by God. And that is a gift from Jesus Christ. Clearly, this writer knew what it was like to be without that security, without that hope, without all the goodness of God. He knew what it was like to play the game in the world, to develop that tough skin. But that's not what gave him what he really, really needed. What was it that made this writer turn from everything to God? What was it that made Andrew and Simon leave the Sea of Galilee? What was it that took James and John, that caught their attention and said, hey, don't worry about mending your nets in the water on the sea. Get out of that boat. Get across the water and come follow me. What was it that made them turn from the things they knew to a sense of security and hope and peace? What calls you? What calls you into that life of hope, into the love that is beyond measure, beyond toughness, beyond our comprehension? It is the powerful, never-ending, steadfast love of God. There's a song that I heard. I had another song picked for y'all last night, and I was up here and created its little snippet. And then this morning I woke up and I listened to another song. And so we're going to play a song for you. And this is something that I can identify. Maybe you can identify with it too. And this is for my friend also that feels God has abandoned him. So I pray that you hear this song and feel the security and the love of God. Amen.